Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Chepa conference call. We're extremely fortunate to have His Grace Chaitanya Leela Prabhuji here with us today. And Prabhuji will be enlightening us by walking us through Srimad Bhagavatam 4.26.16 onwards. So Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity, your valuable time and association this morning. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to you now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhujis and Matijis. This is Chaitanya Leela Das. Thank you all very much for giving me this opportunity to serve you, seeking all of your blessings that we can speak something on the beautiful verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are reading from the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 26. And I was given verse 14 onwards, so I'll be reading the 14th verse. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 26, Text 14. Antahapura Striyo Prichad. Vimana iva vedishat api vah kushalam rama sheshwari nam yatha pura. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. At that time, King Puranjan was a little anxious and he inquired from the household women, "My dear beautiful women, are you and your mistress all very happy like before or not?" Purport. In this verse, the word Vedishat indicates King Prachini Barhi. When a man becomes refreshed by the association of devotees and awakes to Krishna consciousness, he consults the activities of his mind, namely thinking, feeling, and willing, and decides whether he should return to his material activities or stay steady in spiritual consciousness. The word kushalam refers to that which is auspicious. One can make his home perfectly auspicious when he engages in devotional service to Lord Vishnu. When one is engaged in activities other than Vishnu bhakti, or in other words, when one is engaged in material activities, he is always filled with anxieties. A sane man should consult his mind, its thinking, feeling, and willing processes, and decide how these processes should be utilized. If one always thinks of Krishna, feels how to serve him, and wills to execute the order of Krishna, it should be known that he has taken good instruction from his intelligence, which is called the mother. Although the king was refreshed, he nonetheless inquired about his wife. Thus he was consulting, thinking, and willing how he could return to his steady, good consciousness. The mind may suggest that by vishaya bhog or sense enjoyment, one can become happy. But when one becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness, he does not derive happiness from material activities. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita 2.59. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinah rasvarjam rasopiyasya param drishtva nivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But seizing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. One cannot be unattached to the sense objects unless he finds better engagement in devotional service. Param drishtva nivartate. One can cease from material activities only when one actually engages in devotional service. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तु ते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. At that time, King Puranjan was a little anxious and he inquired from the household women, "My dear beautiful women, are you and your mistress all very happy like before or not?" So this section of Bhagavatam, we are reading the section of King Puranjan, the story, the allegorical story that's been described by Srila Narad Muni to King Prachini Bharhi. And this allegorical story of King Puranjan is very important in the sense it reflects the actual story of the living entity who is wandering through this material existence. And through this entire story, we find the different phases of a living entity's existence in this material world is very beautifully depicted and is being narrated by Narad Muni to King Prachini Bharishad. And the story starts as how King Puranjan is actually wandering through the entire creation looking for a suitable place to reside. And that's how he comes through this, comes across this place. Hare Krishna, am I audible?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. So, so this beautiful story we were discussing, how King Puranjan is actually wandering through this entire creation, is looking for a beautiful place to reside, and he comes across this place and he meets this lady whom he eventually marries. And this section, this particular chapter, is the episode where King Puranjan, he leaves the queen and goes to the forest for hunting. And this particular chapter describes that how in the course of his venture into this material creation, the living entity is also looking for facilities for material enjoyment. And he comes in contact with those facilities and he starts leading, you know, his life of dharma, artha, kama and moksha here in this material world. But then, just like this chapter dictates, that even such a person who is, you know, ritualistically leading his life, he may once again become victim of his past conditionings, of his past habits, and go astray from his religious life, from leading a dharmic life. And The process of coming back is also beautifully described here in this verse, that how the living entity, when he goes astray, you know, leaving all the rules and regulations, you know, looking out for the pursuits of material enjoyment in a hedonistic manner, and what makes him, what propels him to come back and become firmly situated in Krishna consciousness. We have read many a times Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas, they have quoted this beautiful verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which mentions Brahmanda Bhramite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej, that after wandering through the entire creation, the entire material universe, through different stages of life, through different bodies, changing 8.4 million different bodies, and going through the different places of stay in the 14 planetary systems, after traveling for so much, going through all different states of light, Brahmanda Bhramite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev, only a fortunate person gets the understanding by which he can reconnect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and be re-established in his original position as a servant to the Supreme Lord. And that's how, having received this Bhakti Lata Beej, this seed of the devotion, devotional creeper, how a living entity actually nurtures that seed with attention. It is also mentioned that after many, many lifetimes, Bahunam Janmanam Ante Gyanavan Mam Prapadyate. Krishna is saying that after many, many lifetimes, a person actually understands my position. Bahunam Janmanam Ante Gyanavam Mam Prapadyate. Only an intelligent person actually surrenders unto me. And Manushyanam Sahasreshu Kaschit Yatati Siddhaye Yatatam Api Siddhanam Kaschin Mam Veti Tatatah. Out of hundreds and thousands of men, only very few, they endeavor for perfection. And out of the millions who endeavor for perfection, only a few end up knowing me. So all these verses, nothing but very specifically help us understand how this process of Krishna consciousness is something very, very rare and is supposed to be executed with utmost attention. But in spite of, you know, having received this beautiful mercy of Bhakti Lata, the creeper of devotion, the seed of the creeper of devotion, still sometimes we find that we are not up to the mark of perfection, as it is expected of us from the Shastras, what the Shastras expect of us, what the devotees expect of us, what the spiritual master expects of us. Sometimes we may find ourselves short of those expectations. Srila Prabhupada, in one of his books, I think the On the Way to Krishna, Prabhupada book. So in that particular book, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a rotating fan. Just like a fan is rotating, if someone switches off the fan doesn't come to a halt within a moment, instantly. No. It still keeps on rotating for some time and eventually it comes to a halt. So similarly, we may also find ourselves, you know, our lives still rotating based on our past conditionings, our past habits, even though we have taken on to the process of Krishna consciousness, even though we have started executing the ninefold process of bhakti, and still we may find that, you know, there's still a long way for us to go. So how do we expedite that process? How do we ensure that and that we learn the proper lessons that Srila Narad Muni is teaching through this particular chapter of the episode of Puranjan? So it is said there are three types of intelligent people in this world. The very first category of intelligent people are those who hear what is supposed to be done and what is not supposed to be done, and they start executing it right away. Just like kids are told that one shouldn't cheat in the examination. No, it's sinful to cheat in the examination. So a first-class intelligent kid is one who hears the truth and understands. He gets his lesson. Okay, I shouldn't cheat in the examination. I shouldn't copy from my classmates in the examination. The second-class intelligent person is one who doesn't understand things just by hearing. He needs case studies. He needs real-life scenarios to see that, yes, this is what is supposed to be done. This is not supposed to be done. And basically, Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but a set of case studies where through a number of case studies, Srila Vyasadeva is helping us understand what we are actually supposed to concentrate and focus in our lives. Taking the example of the same kid, you know, when a kid is told that you shouldn't cheat in the examination, he may not understand just by being told. Instead, he may still attempt to do so, but then he might find someone else, you know, cheating and copying in the examination and getting caught and getting, you know, thrown out of the examination hall. Now this kid, he gets his lesson that yes, it's sinful to cheat in the examination, to copy in the examination. It's not good. So that's still the second class intelligent because he gets his lesson. But then the third class intelligent person is one who doesn't understand by hearing, doesn't understand by seeing the case studies, seeing others' examples. This third class intelligent person is one who undergoes and gets the lesson. So this kid, he doesn't believe that, you know, one shouldn't copy during an examination. He doesn't understand, he doesn't get the truth by seeing someone else getting caught and being thrown out. Still, he doesn't get the lesson. He gets the lesson when he tries to do it and he is caught and he is thrown out of the examination. So similarly, in this particular chapter of Puranjan, the focus is on the third step. Here Puranjan is going out into the forest. The whole scenario is how Puranjan, he leaves his queen back in the palace and he goes out into the forest for hunting wild animals and innocent creatures. Bhagavatam describes that Puranjan is out there to kill innocent creatures. And, you know, becoming very tired, he comes back and he gets refreshed and, you know, asks about the well-being of his queen. So in one sense, it's like a very, very simple story. Every king does it, going out for hunting. In fact, it's recommended for the Kshatriyas. So it may seem to be, you know, some very simplistic story. That why is this kind of a story being described in an entire chapter? Does this deserve an entire chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam? That a king is going out into the forest for hunting. There he gets tired. He comes back to the palace. He gets refreshed and, you know, is looking out for his queen. That is the summum bonum of the entire chapter. But this very simple story has so many different lessons for a devotional practitioner, for all of, like all of us, a sadhaka like all of us. So today, it's not just the story of Puranjan. Through the story of Puranjan, Narad Muni is indicating to King Prachini Bharishad that, my dear King Prachini Bharishad, is this your story as well? And through this episode of Narad Muni conversing with King Prachini Bharishad, Srila Vyasadeva is indicating to the readers of Srimad Bhagavatam to inquire for themselves, to test for themselves, is this our story as well? So what we'll do is, I have these six steps of repeated reformation that King Puranjan goes through in this entire chapter, from the beginning, from the stage of committing a mistake to the stage of having firm resolve in his own personality. So the very first stage, we'll be discussing the sixth stage of reformation that King Puranjan undergoes. The very first stage that King Puranjan takes is the risk stage. We'll be discussing 6 R's today. The very first stage is risk, the stage of making a mistake. So in this when King Puranjan goes to the forest, the queen becomes very angry. So similarly, it is described that the conditioned soul seeking true happiness in the material world also keeps trying newer and newer options. And sometimes this habit continues even after landing at the right place, this habit of looking out for newer and newer ways of being happy may just continue. And this may happen sometimes beyond our control because of past conditionings, because of exposure to a variety of sense objects before us, because of weaknesses of our own hearts, and also because of the controls of the modes of material nature. And being afflicted with these modes, a person may end up committing actions in the mode of ignorance. In the very beginning of this chapter, the very first verse, Srila Prabhupada writes very beautifully in the purport that when the body is influenced by the mode of ignorance, the infection of the material modes is very, very acute. When the body is influenced by the mode of passion, the infection is at the symptomatic stage. You can actually feel it. You can actually perceive it. But when the body is influenced by the mode of goodness, that is when the materialistic infection actually starts getting purified. But Srila Prabhupada mentions that in this material world, even the mode of goodness is tinged with material modes of passion and ignorance. And therefore, one has to be very careful and try to elevate oneself to the Shuddha Sattva platform above the modes of material nature. So, and because a person takes this risk, he has that confidence that maybe I'll be successful in my venture of becoming happy. Like for King Puranjan, he already had all of these different facilities for being happy right there in his palace. Everything that he needed to be happy, all these facilities were there in the palace. But still, King Puranjan felt that if I go into the forest for hunting, might be that I'll be happier. So this illusion gives a person confidence. And the only solution is when one is out of illusion and firmly carries the absolute truth within the heart. But even though a person has this expectation of happiness, this expectation of success by taking a risk, why are we calling this stage as the stage of risk? Because a person feels that, you know, there is some expectation of success. And of course, this is because of being in illusion, because of being in ignorance of one's true happiness. But it is said that ignorance is no excuse. Even if a person commits a mistake out of ignorance, by the laws of material nature, he is nonetheless punished here. Like for example, typically give this example that like if you're traveling in India, you buy a general class ticket or a sleeper class ticket, and you enter into the air-conditioned compartment and you start traveling. So when the ticket checker, he comes and looks at the ticket, a person may say, I didn't know that my ticket is not meant for traveling in this class. But then he'll be held for his mistake. So ignorance is no excuse. And therefore, one must lose whatever that is gain. Because of taking this risk of venturing out for looking out for other means of happiness, even though one is actually in Krishna consciousness, even though one already has the facilities of being happy in the association of devotees, in the association of the Supreme Lord, still if someone takes this risk of venturing out for looking for other options, by the laws of material nature, you know, punishment is given. And what is the punishment? The punishment is a temporary forgetfulness of one's actual position. Like it is mentioned, the material energy of the Lord functions in two ways. Through its avaranatmika shakti, avaranatmika shakti refers to the covering potency of the material energy. The material energy covers the true intelligence of the living entity. The understanding of his real self, the understanding of his relationship with the Supreme Lord, the understanding of his duties in this, of his spiritual duties while being in the material world. That is the Avaranatmika Shakti. Then is the Prakshepatmika Shakti. The living entities is thrown into delusion, into thinking that just by carrying out fruitive activities, one will be happy. And here we see that Narad Muni is indicating to Maharaj Prachini Barishat that, my dear king, you are endeavoring so hard to be successful in carrying out these fruitive activities, but then are these activities worth it? Are you on the right track? And therefore, the inevitable result is going to be frustration, Narad Muni is hinting. So the first stage is the stage of risk, where a living entity like Puranjan gives up his, you know, happy place of the palace and goes into an expectation of success into the forest. The second stage is the stage of recognition, the stage of acknowledgement, where one understands from one's own experience that this risk that I am taking is not...
One ready to okay now, but it's
Hare Krishna, maybe have everyone muted, please. Yeah, so the second stage is the stage of recognition, the stage of acknowledgement, where the living entity understands from one's experience. So here we are seeing that King Puranjan, he is out there in the forest and he is hunting and killing all these innocent animals, and eventually he becomes tired and he understands that, you know, this is not something that will keep me happy. It might have given me a momentary pleasure of seeing, you know, my bravery over others, seeing my superiority over others, having given me this understanding of controllership over others, but then it's not long lasting. And therefore, coming to this stage of recognition of from one's experience is very much important for a person to actually progress to the path of progress on the path of reformation. Because it is said that a disease of a person cannot be cured unless and until the person actually acknowledges that there is some pain. If a person doesn't accept that there is something that needs to be rectified, there is no chance of he getting any solution to it. And therefore, we see in this world that how people are working so hard, trying by different means just to be happy. And the result of all this hard endeavor is that there is frustration in the end. And therefore it is said that it's not expected that one will not make any mistakes. Yes, it is said that to err is human. And even for us, you know, sadhakas, we can't expect that we will be perfect overnight. No. Yes. Definitely, we will also make mistakes, like we discussed, because of conditionings, because of past habits, because of exposure to sense objects, because of weaknesses of our hearts, and because of being under the modes of material nature. Yes, to err is human, but how we recognize and respond to that experience, that is very much important. And therefore, recognizing this experience will dictate how sustained is our happiness. So Narad Muni is asking King Prachini Barishat to question himself, my dear king, are you really happy doing all these fruitive activities? Please check for yourself. And similarly, if we can say, Srila Vyasadeva is also hinting to the readers of Srimad Bhagavatam that, my dear readers of Srimad Bhagavatam, just look into your own life and take an inventory of whether what you are into is actually giving you sustained happiness. So that brings us to the third stage, from the stage of risk, from the stage over to the stage of recognition. The third stage is that of reflection, the stage of contemplation and planning, where a person thinks what could be wrong and how could this be rectified. And it is said this is the symptom of a learned personality, of doing the right self-introspection at the right time. And therefore, the Vedanta Sutra begins with this aphorism, Athato Brahma Jigyasa. Athato means therefore. So now that you have received this human form of life, it behooves you. Now, therefore, after having received this human form of life, please inquire about your real well-being, about what will keep you actually happy in this material world. So the beautiful example is that of King Parikshit. So King Parikshit, in the 18th chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described that when King Parikshit, he was out in the forest and he saw Samik Rishi, and he put this dead snake over the neck of Samik Rishi. And when King Parikshit, he comes back to his palace, King Parikshit actually contemplates that whatever he did, was it right? And there's a beautiful, is the 31st verse gives a beautiful translation, which says, upon returning, King Parikshit began to contemplate and argue within himself whether the sage had actually been in meditation with senses concentrated and eyes closed, or whether he had just been feigning trance just to avoid receiving a lower kshatriya. So it is said that repentance comes in the mind of a good soul. Prabhupada writes in the purport, beautiful line, repentance comes in the mind of a good soul as soon as he commits something wrong. So yes, we discussed that, you know, to err is human. But to recognize that error and to contemplate and to plan ahead is the symptom of a learned personality. So it is said that self-analysis is very critical. Typically, we see people in this world just being very, very busy. And they would say, you know, why waste time over, you know, thinking about yourself, doing this contemplation and introspection? It's just all a waste of time. So a beautiful analogy comes to my mind. Like typically people, they look out for experience in this world. They want to have a very enthralling experience in this world, but they don't want to know what's going to be the end result of what they're into. You know, in the at the Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir where we stay here at Mumbai, India, just close to our temple, we have all these big roads. And sometimes in the dead of night, somewhere around, say, morning 2 a.m. or 1:30 a.m., something of that sort, you will find for a good 15 to 20 minutes, all these bikers, they'll come out in the dead of the night and they'll like really for a good 15-20 minutes, all these bikers, n number of them. I mean, I never looked out of the window to count them, but then they must be in hundreds, I suppose. And all of these guys, they just go out making such a huge noise sometimes. So if someone stops them and asks that, my dear sir, where are you heading to? Maybe they won't have an answer, because actually they don't have a destination in their minds. All that they are concerned with is the experience of just riding fast. So similarly, in this world, people are not so much concerned about the end result of their activities. They just want to enjoy the experience of leading a very, very fast life. But then in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find this trigger for us, where Srimad Bhagavatam repeatedly instigates us, repeatedly propels us to do this self-introspection, that what are we up to? What are these activities will they actually help us be happy? So here we see Puranjan is exhausted with hunger and thirst. Srimad Bhagavatam mentions that how King Puranjan, after coming from the King Puranjan, he's very tired from killing and he's exhausted with hunger and thirst. So acharyas give commentary that King Puranjan is like the spirit soul who is very much troubled on remembering his sinful acts. And therefore, here Narad Muni, through the story of King Puranjan, is instigating King Prachini Barishat to also come to this stage where King Prachini Barishat should also reflect, this, be on the stage of contemplation, on the stage of reflection of what he is up to. The next stage from the stage of reflection is the stage of rectification, the stage of actual reformation. So it is mentioned that Puranjan takes his bath and eats proper food. So the Acharya mentions that this bath signifies bathing in the instructions of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. This analogy of King Puranjan taking a bath after returning from the forest, Acharya has explained that when a living entity, he takes that risk of material enjoyment and he recognizes his mistake and he starts reflecting on his mistake. That is when out of that reflection is born rectification. The living entity starts once again looking back to the instructions of the Shastras, looking back to the instructions of the devotees, the spiritual master, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And he starts remembering them once again. In the purport to the verse we are today reading, Srila Prabhupada writes that a person is refreshed. The actual line is, a man actually becomes refreshed by the association of devotees and awakes to Krishna consciousness. So similarly, when a person, he bathes in the instructions of the Shastras and starts remembering the instructions of the Shastras, he is refreshed by that bathing. Just like a person experiences refreshment after taking a nice shower, similarly here, King Puranjan, he also becomes refreshed. And similarly, the living entity, after bathing in the instructions of the Shastras and remembering them, a person is also refreshed in the association of the devotees, in the association of the Shastric injunctions. And that is when a person actually endeavors to strengthen his devotional service, strengthen his sadhana, the ninefold process of devotional service, in that association of devotees. And this strengthening of one's devotional service is the stage of rectification. So Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport that the word kushalam refers to that which is auspicious. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami, he mentions the six characteristics of pure devotional service. And one of the characteristics, the very first characteristic that he mentions is Shubhada, that when a person actually takes to Krishna consciousness, his life starts becoming auspicious. And Prabhupada writes here, one can make his home perfectly auspicious when he engages in devotional service to Lord Vishnu. Yeah, one can make his home perfectly auspicious when he engages in devotional service to Lord Vishnu. And when one is engaged in activities other than Vishnu Bhakti, or in other words, when one is engaged in material activities, he is always filled with anxieties. So yes, being in this association of devotees, a person actually becomes refreshed. And another important aspect of rectification, which Prabhupada writes, is that one consults the activities of one's mind, namely thinking, feeling and willing, and deciding whether one should return to his material activities or stay steady in spiritual consciousness. So rectification doesn't mean just being absorbed in the association of Guru, Sadhus and Shastras, just being happy and engrossed in the association of devotees. Another aspect of rectification is also reflecting and consulting the activities of one's mind. So yes, this rectification may be termed as external modification of one's activities. Externally, one may say, be in association of the devotees, start reading scriptures and, you know, do a number of things externally. But then the other aspect of rectification is also consulting the mind, consulting the activities of one's mind, namely thinking, feeling and willing, and deciding whether it behooves him to return to his material activities or stay steady in spiritual consciousness. This is typically in the business jargon, this is known as the cost-benefit analysis. So a devotee, a sadhaka, is expected to do this cost-benefit analysis. Was I happier before, or, you know, am I happy now? Am I happier now? You know, was my happiness sustained in my materialistic pursuits earlier, or is my happiness much more substantial in the association of the devotees of the Lord? So when a devotee actually, you know, pays heed to this important aspect of rectification by consulting the activities of the mind, namely thinking, feeling and willing, you know, what are my thoughts? What are my feelings? And what are my desires? So when a person actually evaluates his own thoughts, his own feelings and his own desires and compares them, that does it make sense to just keep going back, you know, to the past habits, to the past conditionings, or does it make sense to just remain, you know, connected, or Prabhupada mentioned staying steady in spiritual consciousness? So this important aspect of rectification, that internal rectification, leads one to realization. So when a person starts reconnecting with his mind, reconnecting with his intelligence, that is when a person discovers that just making external changes is insufficient. So Krishna consciousness is not a matter of external transformation. Krishna consciousness is a matter of internal transformation. And therefore, one may be wanting to reform, and may also be taking the necessary steps externally for rectification, but still internally he might find something missing. And what is that missing piece? That missing piece is one's spiritual intelligence. That spiritual intelligence which guides him from within and keeps him happy. Krishna speaks in the Gita, Tesham Yesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. To those who worship me with love, and those who worship me, tesham nityabhi yuktanam, those who continuously worship me with love, bhajatam priti purvakam, with a lot of love and devotion from their hearts, that is how dadami buddhi yogam tam, I give them the intelligence by which they can come back to me. So yes, one may be sincerely wanting to rectify one's misdeeds, and is such a person is eager to be connected with a spiritual intelligence. However, one understands, one realizes that spiritual intelligence doesn't manifest immediately. And this is what King Puranjan is experiencing now. So King Puranjan took the risk of leaving his queen behind and venturing out to other sources for his happiness, for his looking out for other pursuits of his happiness by hunting into the forest. And there he becomes tired. He recognizes his mistake and he comes back, and he does that reflection. He is feeling the pangs of hunger and thirst, and he does that reflection and comes back. He takes his bath. He does that process of rectification. He takes bath and eats proper food. So this taking bath and eating proper food is an external rectification once again. So, and then after having taken bath and eating his food, now King Puranjan is looking out for the queen. And he finds that the queen is missing. Queen is not to be found around. Is not to be located. So not finding her, King Puranjan inquires from her maid servants, where is the queen? So similarly, when a person actually goes astray, especially when a sadhaka goes astray, he might realize and he might reflect and he might do external rectification also. But then he realizes that, you know, my spiritual intelligence is missing. Something that had been guiding me, that factor, that spiritual factor, that is missing. And therefore, he starts questioning the maid servants. And Acharya has explained, who are these maid servants? The maid servants are his discrimination and determination. So this determination and discrimination, they speak to the soul, the living entity, that yes, that intelligence is missing now. So the maid servant says that we do not know the intentions of your intelligence. See that it has left you. So this discrimination and determination speaks from within. So here the living entity, in the form of King Purunjan is asking, where is this intelligence which enlightens me and delivers me from samsara? And Purunjan is also mentioning that the whole body is unattractive to me due to the absence of my spiritual intelligence. It is like a chariot without wheels. So just like this analogy is very significant, just like a chariot can't proceed without wheels, similarly, a person can't proceed in the right direction without having proper spiritual intelligence. A person can just drag himself to different stages in this material creation. But then to head in the right direction, what he needs is proper and firmly fixed spiritual intelligence. And that is how the maid servants reply that we do not know the intentions of your intelligence. Your intelligence is actually missing. And we don't know what is she up to. And you can see that she has left you. She has left your heart. And actually this Bhagavatam explains that the queen had left the palace of the king. And the maid servants, they replied that the queen has left your bedding and has gone into her inner chambers. And the Acharyas give the understanding that just like the intelligence of a person leaves the heart of a person and goes away. So similarly, the queen had left the king Purunjan and had gone away. So Purunjan, the soul, pacifies the spiritual intelligence. So this again, after realizing that the intelligence has left, the living entity actually takes some internal measures to reinstate that spiritual intelligence so that he is guided ahead like before. So here King Purunjan, he goes up to the king and starts pacifying the king. And it is mentioned Purunjan, he pacifies the queen with lots of effort and regret. So again, this effort and regret is an internal endeavor that one needs to do for the aspects where one is falling short, for the aspects where, you know, one has taken that risk and has committed mistakes. So that regret is important. So that is the internal regret and effort for rectification, the external endeavors for rectification. So King Purunjan pacifies the spiritual intelligence by giving a false ego and respecting the devotees. It is mentioned that King Purunjan holds the 2 feet of the queen. And the Acharyas explain, what are these 2 feet of the queen? The 2 feet of the queen, touching that feet of the queen refers that the king, that implies that the king has given up his false ego. And having given up his false ego, he's touching the feet of the queen. So similarly, unless and until the living entity gives up his false ego and realizes, does that external and internal rectification, and the other feat is described as respect to the devotees. You know, just like the queen here symbolizes dharmic intelligence, the spiritual intelligence for the king. So similarly, when the living entity actually starts respecting and serving the devotees, so giving up one's false ego and respecting the serving the devotees of the Lord, they are like touching the feet of one's spiritual intelligence. And that is when the spiritual intelligence re-manifests itself. back into the mind of the sadhaka. So that is when King Puranjan, he reinstates his spiritual intelligence within his heart. In other words, he wins the heart of the king. He wins the favor of the king. So this Bhagavad Gita, this is beautiful verse which is mentioned. Apichet suduracharo bhajatam. Apichet suduracharo bhajatam ananya bhag. Sadhur eva samantavya samyag vivasito hissaha. Krishna says, even when one is committing abominable activities, because once one is properly situated in my devotional service, I consider him as good as a sadhu, as good as a dear devotee. So in this particular verse, this samyag vyavasthito hisaha is very important. This samyag vyavasthito refers to the reinstatement of the spiritual intelligence for a sadhaka. So Krishna, he doesn't count on the error part. He doesn't look at the previous stages. What are the different, mistakes or folly that a living entity has done? As long as the living entity has endeavored and has managed to reinstate his spiritual intelligence, that is what makes Krishna happy. And that is when Krishna considers such a person who reaches this fifth stage of realization of having reinstated his spiritual intelligence, that is when Krishna actually considers that person a sadhu. So the first stage was taking the stage of risk. The second was the stage of realization. The second was the stage of recognition of one's experience. The third was reflection. Then the rectification part, the external rectification. And the fifth is realization that my spiritual intelligence is missing. And having realized that leads us to the final part of the stage of resolve. So here King Puranjan is speaking to the queen, and acharyas, they translate, this conversation between King Puranjan and the queen, and they mention that the soul Puranjan is telling his spiritual intelligence that I had given you up and I now repent for it. King Puranjan had given up the queen. He didn't Prabhupada writes in the purport that a husband, that the king is actually always supposed to be accompanied by the queen. And because the king had abandoned the queen and had gone alone into the forest, so this is what became a cause of lamentation for him later on. So here Puranjan is, the soul is speaking to the spiritual intelligence that I had given you up and now I now repent for it. I will not again give up spiritual intelligence again in this life. And the Supreme Lord has punished me to teach me. This is the highest mercy, for I will not sin again. And now that I have been punished, please become merciful to me now by becoming steady. So this is a prayer that the living entity offers to his intelligence, that yes, I have committed this mistake and I have undergone this repentance and this punishment from the Supreme Lord, and I consider it as the mercy of the Lord. And now that I have been punished, please be merciful to me, and please re-manifest within my heart. Please be pleased and reside in my heart. So this last stage of resolve is actually the chain breaking step, because like we mentioned, if a person is not firmly situated in this stage of resolve, there is very much a chance that he will again get back into the stage of the very first stage of taking a risk. If that resolve is not sufficiently strong, that yes, Krishna consciousness is the way. Krishna consciousness is something that will actually for my eternal well-being. And therefore, with all my mind, I have to hold on to it. So if this resolve is not sufficiently strong, there is very much a chance that a person actually lands up in the very first stage again. That is the stage of taking a risk and again getting back into something that may promise him happiness. So this is actually the chain breaking step. and reaching this step is compulsory. And the purpose of this step, like we mentioned, the purpose of this step of resolve is to stop the person from taking the next risk. And the strength of this journey, the strength of this resolve ensures that the journey of the sadhaka keeps going on. Otherwise, one may again take the risk of acting in ignorance. So this beautiful stage of resolve is exemplified by Ajamil in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Ajamil, he is very vocal in his resolve. When Ajamil reaches the stage, so the story goes that how Ajamil, after having received this second chance, after having, you know, spoken the word Narayan while giving up his body, and he sees the Vishnu Dutas and the Yam Dutas coming, and the Vishnu Dutas, they actually manage to send off the Yam Dutas, and he's very much terrified, and that is when he realizes and he goes back to Haridwar for perfecting his life. And that is where Ajamil, he's being vocal about this resolve and is speaking. I would like to just recite this verse. It's very beautiful, actually. Just give me a second. So the story of Ajamil, Ajamil is mentioning when the Ajamil is delivered by the Vishnu Dutas. This is the 6th canto, 2nd chapter, 36th and 37th verse. Very beautiful verses. He's saying, Vimuchyatam imam bandham avidya kama karmajam sarva bhuta suhrit chanto maitra karuna atmavan mochaye grastam atmanam yoshin mayatma mayaya vrikridito yayaivaham krida mrigam ivadhamaha. So translation is here very careful. It's very beautiful translation. Ajamil is saying, because of identifying oneself with the body, one is subjected to desires for sense gratification. And thus, one engages in many different types of pious and impious activities. This is what constitutes material bondage. So here, now on the resolve of Ajamil begins. So Ajamil is saying, now I shall disentangle myself from my material bondage, which has been caused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead's illusory energy. Being a most fallen soul, I was victimized by the illusory energy. Now I shall give up all lusty desires and free myself from this delusion. I shall become a merciful, well-wishing friend to all living entities and always absorb myself in Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada, he gives a classic purport to this verse. He begins this purport by saying, this should be the standard of determination for all Krishna conscious persons. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.2.36 purport. This should be the standard of determination for all Krishna conscious persons. A Krishna conscious person should free himself from the clutches of Maya, and he should also be compassionate to all others suffering in those clutches. The activities of the Krishna consciousness movement are meant not only for oneself, but for others also. This is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, he gives the another aspect of resolve here, that how this resolve has to be bidirectional. It's not just unidirectional. It's not just meant for one's self-improvement, not just inward. That resolve also has to be outward for others' development. And Prabhupada is writing that one is interested in his own salvation. One who is interested in his own salvation is not as advanced in Krishna consciousness as one who feels compassion for others and who therefore propagates the Krishna consciousness movement. Such an advanced devotee will never fall down, for Krishna will give him protection. For Krishna will give him special protection. That is the sum and substance of the Krishna consciousness movement. Everyone is like a play toy in the hands of the illusory energy and is acting as she is moving him. One should come to Krishna consciousness to release oneself and also to release others. This beautiful, beautiful purport, Srila Prabhupada is giving the sum and substance of the process that we are into. That this process is not just meant for our well-being, but this process has the capability to rectify and help everyone in the world. And therefore, when a person takes this resolve, it is said, attack is the best form of defense. So when one is actually out there in the field, you know, trying to help others, Krishna gives him special protection. And that is how one becomes successful in his reformation. So just to summarize and conclude, we discussed that how there are two ways. One is just a superficial study of Srimad Bhagavatam. And if someone does a very superficial study of Srimad Bhagavatam, one may get bored. One may feel, you know, what is it? You know, that the Vedas and these Upanishads and these Puranas, the Bhagavata Purana, how can one expect to contain such a typical story, such a simple story of a king going out to hunt and getting tired and coming back to the palace, getting refreshed and looking out for the queen who is upset with him and trying to appease her. Now, is this what is expected to be in the Shastras, in the scriptures? So this is the understanding when one does a very superficial approach to Srimad Bhagavatam. But when one does a guided approach to Srimad Bhagavatam, when one actually understands Srimad Bhagavatam through the vision of the acharyas, through the lens of the devotees of the Lord, that is when one understands, one gets his own activities, one gets his own to-do list, basically. You know, things that is beneficial for him or her. And therefore, when Bhagavad Gita mentions, yaha shastra vidhim utsrijya vartate kamakaratah nasa siddhim avapanoti na sukham na param gatim, that if someone disregards the teachings, disregards the lessons which are hidden in scriptures, yaha shastra vidhim, shastro ki vidhi ko, the principles that are described in the shastras, yaha shastra vidhim utsrijya, someone gives up the principles, the teachings, the lessons that are mentioned in the scriptures, vartate kamakarata, and just keeps going on based on his desires, you know, just keeps operating based on one's own material desires, vartate kamakarata, he meets with three things. Nasa siddhim avapanoti, he doesn't achieve perfection in any of his activities. Nasa siddhim avapanoti na sukham, such a person is always under anxiety, is never happy. Nasa siddhim avapanoti na sukham na param gatim, one doesn't achieve, one doesn't reach the ultimate destination, that is the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nasa siddhim avapanoti na sukham na param gatim. So therefore we see that through these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Vyasadev is actually giving us very sound and profound lessons that how, you know, yes, we may have taken that risk of, committing mistakes because of our habits. And just like the fan, even if it is switched off, we have taken to Krishna consciousness, still it's rotating. You know, still some habits are lingering on, some conditionings might be going on, you know, we are not yet perfect. So that is the stage of the risk. But then we have to recognize from the experience that we are getting of taking that risk, and one has to reflect, do that self-introspection, that is it actually keeping me happy? Is it actually giving me bliss? You know, athato brahma jigyasa. Now that we have received this blessing, am I actually happy? And having made that reflection, one has to take the necessary external steps, the bathing and proper food, association of the devotees of the Lord and strengthening one's own sadhana. That is the rectification part. But then there will be realization, because we understand that Krishna consciousness is not just about making external changes. It is also about making internal changes of firmly reuniting with one's spiritual intelligence. And finally, when one is reunited with one's spiritual intelligence, one takes that resolve. And the strength of this resolve is what saves one from getting back into the cycle. So I guess this whole story is actually directly giving us a lot of take-home messages. And we must be eternally grateful to Srila Vyasadeva, who is actually feeling compassionate to the practicing sadhakas. And he is giving us, people like us, all these helplines, so that we can understand these aspects through this allegorical story, through this, in a story format, in a form of case studies, but with very many hidden messages. And when we resort to these messages and do a guided study of Srimad Bhagavatam, I guess we'll definitely achieve the intent of Srimad Bhagavatam that Srila Vyasadeva is compiled, and the intent of Sukadeva Goswami when he's speaking to Parikshit Maharaj is actually speaking for us. Just like Krishna spoke this Bhagavad Gita, he actually spoke for the benefit of everyone. Similarly, Sukadeva Goswami is actually speaking, repeating the words of Vyasadeva for everyone's well-being. And similarly, we find Narad Muni, he's speaking to King Prajini Barishad, but essentially Narad Muni is also giving and speaking this story of Puranjan so that we get our lesson. And we also understand that, yes, we may be taking risks, but then we need to recognize, our folly and do some reflection and make necessary rectification and realize that there is a need for us to reconnect and keep our spiritual intelligence very, very profound, so that in all circumstances, in all situations, that spiritual intelligence actually guides us. And take this firm resolve that my journey of Krishna consciousness should keep going on. That way, with those words, I'd like to stop here. Thank you all very much for being here with us this morning once again, and giving me this opportunity to serve all of you. Hare Krishna. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai. His Divine Grace Shilaisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for this wonderful class today. I'll just open up the line for others to ask any questions that they have at this point. Any questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you for the wonderful class, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, I have a little doubt here. Like few days back when on the same chapter, and maybe the previous chapter, we were talking about that, one of the Prabhuji was mentioning that our ego, the false ego, is the main cause of all the trouble, and then comes the intelligence, and then comes the mind. So here, what I understood from today's reading, that once goes back to the intelligence, and then, it is coming back to its normal. But when it is the cause of our bondage also, how can it give us the, peace, or helping us going back to Godhead?
Yeah, so basically, even when one goes back to the intelligence, going back to the intelligence needs want to surrender his false ego. And we saw in this particular pastime that the king is actually holding the feet of the queen. And that holding of the feet of the queen, the 2 feet, the acharyas explained, one of the feet symbolizes giving up one's false ego. Because only when a person actually gives up one's own false ego, when a person actually gives up that misunderstanding that I know it all, I know the way out. Unless and until a person actually understands that, you know, there is still a scope for me to know things. You know, maybe I am not to the best, course of action. Unless and until a person gives this false misunderstanding, gives up that false ego, he will never get into the association of devotees, and he will never appease his intelligence to manifest itself. So yes, definitely the false ego comes before. And when the living entity, he gives up that false ego and prays to the intelligence, that is when the intelligence actually manifests. And also to mention, it's not something very, you know, Krishna conscious or all these aspects of how things get transformed, they are not very digital in nature. Like, okay, false ego is gone. Now the next step is intelligence. Okay, now the intelligence is taken care. So now it's not something very digital. It's more of a analog kind of a thing, wherein yes, we may give up some false ego and we may get some mercy, and still there might be sufficient false ego remaining, but then based on that mercy, we might develop some, you know, intelligence. And because we get some more intelligence, we give up some more false ego. So it's kind of a, you know, spiral thing. It's kind of a cyclic thing that eventually, yes, giving up of that false ego and development of the spiritual intelligence, it's a repeated process, basically. I don't know if I managed to answer your question.
Yes, Prabhu, exactly. I got it. Thank you so much, Prabhu. I got it, Prabhu. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Do we have any other questions?
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj. Very nicely you explained, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji.
Any more questions for Prabhuji before we wrap up the call?
Krishna Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ji. How nicely narrating Shishi Bhagavatam Prabhuji, feeling that sitting in Shishi Radha Gopinath and Radhanath Maharaj is given a class, Prabhu. Prabhu, my question is that when the Prabhuji is not Vaishnava, we cannot say Vaishnava. Maybe they are more sincere than me in a bhakti. But when we explain that Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the topper and came from the Radharani's heart, and they not expect it, and in the morning starting Om Namo Bhagavate Narayana, that was the topmost, and Om Burbur Vasva Hanumanji Ramji, I don't understand, there is 35 Mahamantra is going on. So Prabhuji, how to convince them, Prabhu? Hari Bol, Hare Krishna, Pranam.
I guess Mataji, this is like beyond the scope of a regular Srimad Bhagavatam class, because like there's a more detailed subject matter, and basically our purpose is we are not here meant to, you know, just convince anyone and everyone. Our objective is to be a good example of what we know and how we are following what we know. And when we follow honestly what we know, we send vibes. We send spiritual vibes by which people, they understand the effect. No, just like it is said, you understand the cause by the effect. When we see, you know, a wind blowing, For example, when we see an arrow, we understand that behind that arrow has to be a bow. Without a bow, an arrow can't shoot past in the air. So similarly, when people see our example, the way we behave, the way we speak, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we deal ourselves, people want to know what is that bow from which this, you know, arrow of decency, this arrow of reformed dealings has shot past. And therefore, that is when people want to inquire about the source. And when there is proper inquiry, only then when we speak up, there is this proper transmission of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it doesn't behoove us to, you know, just speaking philosophy. It is said actions speak louder than words. So therefore, this is not meant for a particular situation. I'm just talking about a generic principle. And maybe you can discuss with some senior devotees who, you know, who may know your proper or particular situation. Maybe as per time, place and circumstances, he or she might be in a better situation to, you know, suggest something by which you can actually help Prabhuji to get introduced or come to Krishna consciousness. But what I personally believe is it's more of letting Krishna consciousness act through us. And when Krishna consciousness, when people see that, you know, our actions are transforming, they naturally want to inquire. So that's my understanding to this, Mataji.
Yes, Prabhuji. One more thing, I'm not saying that Prabhuji is not duty. He is very humble, very honest person, but not believe in a God. Somehow he convinced and now start Hanumanji worshiping, Gayatri Mata worship. Prabhuji, he allowed Kishori Mataji, Shidam Prabhu, Dwarkadis Prabhuji, Vishwarup Prabhuji, Janma Mataji, everybody at home. So many home programs twice in a week, or four program in a month, Prabhu. But still it's going on from the last 17, 18 years, but still not changed, Prabhu.
I believe you can consult some senior devotees. Maybe Sridhama Pruvar Kishori Mataji might be in a better situation to, you know, help you out in a particular manner. I can share certain principles that work for everyone, definitely.
Yes, Prabhuji, koti koti dhanvat pranam to your seva.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for the wonderful class and for explaining all of the stages so well. I just had a question about the fourth stage, the rectification stage. I just wanted to make sure that I noted the activities of that particular stage. You said engrossed in association, and then the other was consulting the activities of the mind.
Consulting the instructions of the scriptures remembering them. And Prabhupada mentions that how when one comes in contact with remembers the instructions of the devotees, remembers the instructions of the Shastras, the spiritual master, one becomes refreshed. Mm-hmm. A person is refreshed in the association of devotees. So, yeah. So that's the external thing that needs to be in place.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you very much for the class.
Hare
Krishna.
Prabhuji, once again, thank you so much for such a wonderful class today. And we are really grateful to you and look forward to having your association again in future. If nobody has any more questions, we would like to wrap up the call here.
Prabhuji, Hare Krishna.
Acha kaltarupyascha, krapa sindhu bhya,
kathita
nam bhavamibhyo, vaishnavibhyo nama nama. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki chai, Srila Prabhupada. Is it yes. Chaitanya Leela Prabhuji ki jai.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.